The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, Essence Hollywood House. To Altadena with Love, Honor the Resilience of Those Impacted by the California Wildfires, Offering a Space of Inspiration, Connection, and Support for Creative Professionals in the Film and Television Industries. Originally established in 2020, this premier event has evolved into a community-driven experience designed to empower both emerging and established talent. Attendees engaged in thought-provoking panels, a community resource hub, exclusive screenings, and meaningful networking opportunities. With a renewed focus on creativity and compassion, Essence Hollywood House provided a platform for conversations and spotlighted the leading voices shaping Hollywood. The next article is titled, Beyond Vignettes. Food is the lifeblood of New Orleans, and these Black chefs are at the forefront of the movement to level up mouth-watering fare in the Big Easy. African traditions have influenced the food dished out in New Orleans ever since the city was a major port in the domestic slave trade. Those enslaved Africans brought their cooking techniques, spices, and herbs to the region, and you can almost taste it in every dish, the soul, the history, the resilience. In this city, food is more than just sustenance. Culture and identity are served on a plate. Now, a new batch of Black chefs is reimagining the city's culinary offerings, from Creole classics to bold new interpretations of West African and Caribbean flavors, while honoring its deep-rooted traditions. Among the innovative establishments leading this movement is PRA_Lees, whose fusion of New Orleans flavors with global influences has captivated locals and visitors alike. There's also Neo's, which continues to serve Creole soul food with a side of Southern hospitality, and Dakar Nola, whose chef and owner redefines fine dining through the lens of Senegalese cuisine. And at 14 parishes, the essence of Jamaican cooking adds spice to the city's vibrant food landscape. Together, these eateries and their chefs aren't just feeding New Orleans, they're shaping its future one dish at a time. Connecting cultures, Chef Charles Blake and Lauren Johnson, the visionaries behind 14 parishes. At any given moment, you can hear Charles Blake's friendly voice tinged with the melodic lilt of his Jamaican heritage around 14 parishes, one of New Orleans' most beloved Jamaican restaurants. The eatery is often filled to overflowing with locals and visitors who have come to enjoy the authentic island cuisine Blake grew up with. hailing from the parish of St. Catherine near the capital of Kingston, Blake found early joy in feeding people, namely his many siblings and his hard-working mother and father. My mom even allowed me to cook Sunday dinner and go to church with the food, Blake says. If I don't cook well and it doesn't taste good, nobody eats. And this has been happening since I was 8 or 9 years old. He continued cultivating those skills and eventually moved to the U.S., settling in Brooklyn in 1996. In 2010, he went to Atlanta, where he opened his first restaurant, Island Breeze with a Touch of Soul, in 2011. In Atlanta, he met his now wife and business partner, Lauren Johnson, and in 2014, they moved to her native New Orleans. It was a fresh start for Blake and one that reinvigorated his love of cooking. He began by selling plates of dinner from the trunk of their car. He prepared all the Jamaican classics, including jerk chicken, rice and peas, and oxtail. The food quickly became a hit around town, and before long, the couple realized they needed a home for Blake's sought-after cuisine. In 2016, they opened 14 parishes, a nod to the different municipal divisions in Jamaica, much like those in Louisiana. The establishment stood out as one of the few authentically Jamaican restaurants in the city, focused entirely on dishes from that culture. This was deliberate. Everywhere you turn in New Orleans, you'll find a New Orleans-themed restaurant. But this is something different, Blake explains. By 2018, patronage was steady and they needed a bigger kitchen. They closed up shop and reopened at Pythian Market Food Hall. It was a considerably feat and looked promising until the owners of the market were evicted. We had to close down, Johnson says. That hurt. But the couple opened another location in Algiers Point neighborhood that same year. Their newest venture, Lykel 14 Food Truck, which opened in March of this year. Diasporic Delicacies. Surigen Mbeyi, co-owner and head chef of Dakar Nola. Upon stepping through the doors of Dakar Nola, you might feel as if you're no longer in New Orleans. Intricately carved African artifacts adorn the richly colored walls. Instead of the customary Cajun aromas the city is known for, spices like tamarind, cinnamon, and cumin beckon guests. The dining experience is a diasporic journey thoughtfully curated by Chef Surigen Mbeyi and his business partner, Afua Effi Richardson. Together, they have blended Mbeyi's rich Senegalese heritage with the vibrant culinary traditions of New Orleans, creating an establishment that has garnered national acclaim. Born in Harlem to Senegalese parents, Mbeyi was immersed in that West African culture at a young age. His parents sent him to school in Senegal, where he lived until he was 15. During this formative period, he began learning to cook traditional Senegalese dishes, laying the foundation for his future endeavors. Through Dakar Nola, Mbeyi continues to bridge continents and cultures. he offers dinners and diners, a unique and enriching feast that celebrates the shared histories and flavors of Senegal and New Orleans. The widely lauded chef, whose industry awards include the 2024 Best New Restaurant James Beard Honor, garnered success at the age of 30, even though he hadn't initially planned on forging a career in the culinary arts. "I didn't know I wanted to be a chef early on," Mbeyi says. He didn't consider that path until he was in his late teens and returned to the U.S. from Senegal. "I quickly realized that food was what I was meant to be making. It was my passion, my destination," he says. "I didn't speak English, and I couldn't get a job anywhere except in a restaurant as a dishwasher. But that passion led to many other things. Today, look, here we are." Indeed, only a decade and a half after Mbeyi realized his passion, Dakar Nola is one of the most buzzed about restaurants in the city because of its delicious fare and its commitment to bridging diasporas. Dakar and New Orleans are very similar in their artistic natures, kindness, and hospitality, Mbeyi says. He explains that the two cultures share teranga, a Wolof word that means hospitality and is a core value in Senegalese culture. He has felt this commonality since he moved to New Orleans for his first ever culinary job at Commander's Palace, a notable Creole eatery. "As I learned about New Orleans," he says, "I began to understand its history and how much it has influenced West Africa. Senegal and New Orleans, particularly the Sénégambia region, were both colonized by the French." Mbeyi believes that this helps to explain why the core values in both places are the same and to illuminate their deep historical connection. "People here in New Orleans will treat you like they love you the moment they meet you," he points out. "You could be a stranger, it does not matter. They look at you as a human." Ancestral cuisine. Tanya Dubuslet. Like many little girls, Tanya Dubuslet was close to her grandmother, the family matriarch, who often gathered her loved ones around through her cooking. Granddaughter and grandmother were pretty much joined at the hip. Dubuslet learned all the secret recipes and could replicate them as she grew older. After her grandmother passed, an 18-year-old Dubuslet was inspired to keep her memory alive through the dishes she had so lovingly prepared. "She never gave me measurements," says Dubuslet. "That's why everything I cook, I have to taste to make sure it's right. It wasn't until I got into the restaurant that measurements were factored in." She's referring to Nayo's, one of the top Cajun restaurants in New Orleans. It's easy to assume that the path to opening the eatery was linear, but there's more to the story. After successfully owning and then closing her own restaurant, Dubuslet chose to focus on family, which included her three children and her husband, an admitted busybody she learned and leaned into her entrepreneurial nature in the early aughts because of her children. As she explains, "I just wanted to take my kids to Houston, to Astroworld. the popular amusement park that closed in 2005. But to do that, she needed to generate some extra cash. A family friend suggested that DuBoulslit sell dinner plates from her home. The orders poured in, and in just a few days, she earned the money. That sparked the idea for a new restaurant. In 2010, she and her husband opened Neo's. The name is a derivation of a nickname for their beloved dog's breed, the Neapolitan Mastiff. Having established a stellar reputation for her homemade dinner plates, Tanya attracted a steadily growing clientele, primarily through word of mouth. "Now, guess what?" she asked in her warm southern drawl. "We opened after Hurricane Katrina, and I'm always impatient." She initially wanted the restaurant to pick up a bit more, but she quickly learned to count her blessings. "We were never in the red, and the bills were paid, rent was made, and we were happy," she says. "Even better, the slow period didn't last long. Just 3 years later, the restaurant was forced to expand due to high demand." Tanya and her family opened an even larger location right next door to accommodate the often long lines of excited customers. Everything on the menu is inspired by Tanya's grandmother's recipes, which are mostly a secret to outsiders. Each dish, like the matriarch's, is cooked with love, but Tanya's favorite is her grandmother's gumbo. "I can eat her gumbo every single day," she says. "And then you know what's so crazy? I don't even like any of the ingredients in it. I like the juice. I like the juice and the rice, and that's it." It's clear she knows how to mix up magic, as with this dish, yet keep life simple and delicious. Food and Family. Bryant Lee, owner of PRA Lee's. Bryant Lee and his mom started baking and selling desserts to local stores in 2012. His mom was known for her praline cupcakes, while Bryant focused on rich praline brownies. Watching his mom put smiles on people's faces because of something she made in their kitchen stuck with him for two reasons. She was able to create joy for others, and she was her own boss. That's why, years later, Lee is a serial food entrepreneur. He first launched PRA Lee's, a portmanteau for pralines and his family name, in 2013. The family-run restaurant sells his mom's cupcakes, among other sweet treats. He later expanded the menu to include savory items like fried seafood and assorted Cajun dishes. "Food is a universal love language," says Lee. "Starting a restaurant allows me to be with my loved ones." According to Lee, it took about 5 years for the brand to take off, and over time, locals became familiar with the name and began flooding to the cozy location on Frenchman Street in the 7th Ward. Always bustling, the restaurant sees a few hundred customers per day. Even more impressive is that Lee seldom has to allocate any of the operating budget to advertising. "I don't speak for it," he confirms. "The food speaks for itself." Alongside his mother and brother, Lee has created a delicious menu anchored by fan favorites: fried salmon, fried teriyaki Brussels sprouts, crawfish mac and cheese, jambalaya, and red beans and rice. While heading up operations, Blake is also the head chef from the time our doors open to 9 p.m., the customers don't stop rolling in, he says. During that time, he's in the kitchen preparing dishes. To accommodate the overflow, Lee opened a food truck not far from the eatery. Next door is another hot spot, Junior's Snowballs, named for his 14-year-old son, selling refreshing shaved ice with fresh fruit puree. This summer, there will be an outdoor dining and entertainment space for PRA Lee's too. Lee attributes the restaurant's success to his family and his family's deep passion for restoring power of food. NOLA's Finest Flavors is the next article. New Orleans culinary stars and foodie content creators share their favorite black-owned eateries and bars in a city full of stellar options. There is no better way to find the best restaurants and bars during the Essence Festival of Culture than by going straight to the source. Here are the black-owned gems the city's top chefs, bartenders, and foodies swear by. Chef Prince Lobo, general manager of Addis Nola Ethiopian Kitchen. Everything La Pin does is magical. I felt like I was having lucid dreams while eating their fried chicken with jerk honey butter. Compare La Pin, 535 TCHOUPITOUIAS Street, New Orleans, LA 70130. Chef Maya Masterson, founder Black Rooks Culinary Collective, Addis Nola Ethiopian Kitchen. The food, vibe, and decor are unmatched. My favorite dish is the whole fried snapper. Addis Nola Ethiopian Kitchen, 2514 Bayou Road, New Orleans, LA 70119. Tamzi Kim at Tam Loves to Eat on Instagram and TikTok. Little Dizzy's Cafe, the gumbo with crab, shrimp, hot and smoked sausage is my favorite. The warmth and hospitality make this place special. Little Dizzy's Cafe, 1500 Esplanade Avenue, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70116. Nate Bryant at NateBryant_ on Instagram, hashtag TikTok. Little Dizzy's Cafe for the fried chicken, smothered pork chops, catfish Jordan, and that delicious bread pudding. Chef Charlie Pereira, James Beard nominated founder of Fritai Haitian Street Food. Queen Trini Lisa. Chef Lisa is a Trinidadian chef who cooks amazing doubles. She has flavor like barbecue jerk and seafood, but I love the traditional. Queen Trini Lisa, 4200 D'HEMECOURT Street, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70119. Carl Brown, lead bartender at Jolie and co-founder of Jungle Bird 504. A black-owned bar that keeps me coming back is Bullets Sports Bar. It's not a cocktail bar, but even better. You order a setup, a half-pint bottle of spirit, your mixer of choice, and ice. It's a typical neighborhood New Orleans bar order. Bullets Sports Bar, 2441 APTUREAUD Avenue, New Orleans, Louisiana. Maya Young, bartender at The Swamp on Bourbon Street. The Page Bar. It's a black-owned LGBTQ spot in the French Quarter. People visiting New Orleans should try the delicious brandy milk punch. The Page Bar, 542 North Rampart Street, New Orleans, Louisiana. Jalen Isles, founder at Wear Black Noliats on Instagram. I highly recommend the oxtail pasta at Jamaican Jerk House. I also enjoy the Munch Factory. There are so many things I love on the menu. Jamaican Jerk House, 417 St. Claude Avenue, New Orleans, Louisiana. And the Munch Factory, 6514 Congress Road, New Orleans, Louisiana. The next article is titled Celebrating Over Three Decades, The Community of New Orleans and the State of Louisiana Fill Us with Gratitude. Your support is invaluable. With your partnership, we are committed to growing alongside our forever home. Thank you for helping us shape this legacy as we celebrate three decades in New Orleans and Louisiana. Our hearts overflow with gratitude. Your unwavering support has been our guiding light. With you by our side, we embark on this next chapter with a deep sense of belonging to our cherished leaders. Your vision and dedication have shaped this journey with immeasurable impact. Thank you for being the heartbeat of this community's enduring legacy. We are profoundly grateful for your unwavering support. Essence Host Committee, Congressman Troy A. Carter Sr., Governor Jeff Landry, Mayor LaToya Cantrell, Lieutenant Governor Billy, New Orleans City Council. The next article is titled Ready, Set, Travel. The intrepid explorers of Team Essence are all fired up to seek new adventures. Tokyo is definitely at the top of my bucket list. I am obsessed with the culture and the food, and I have to experience cherry blossom season in person. Dominique Dickerson, Integrated Marketing Manager. I've always wanted to go to the Dutch Caribbean islands, Aruba, Bonaire, and Curaçao. So I'm definitely looking forward to my 8-day cruise that's leaving the day before Mother's Day and stopping at all three ports. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Ava Lewis reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. 5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.